Rebel Force Radio presents...
Excuse me, sir. Might I inquire what's going on?
This is RFR Q&A.
Hey, Star Wars fans, Jimmy Mack here with you, and welcome back to another edition of RFR Q&A. The Q&A is back for some RPG. And with us is a VIP to play RPG on RFR, and his name is Matt Rashid. Matt!
Hello!
Hello! Hello. I stepped on your hello maybe a little bit.
Hello!
Hello! All right, we're with Matt. So if Matt's here, we're going to be playing RPG, and we're going to be continuing the adventures of Podcastus. Of course, we couldn't do that without Babu Freak, Tyler Page. Tyler!
Hey, hey!
All right, so we're all set. We're going to pick up where we left off in the mess hall. I think things were getting messy in the mess hall, as I remember. But but of course, this is another chapter of the adventure, and that comes complete with a crawl, an intro and a crawl. So Matt is prepared to get us all caught up in this, what chapter is it? Well, we'll find out. So
you're gonna find out. You tell me when.
Okay. Well, give me Mac. Let's lower the house lights.
Okay.
And pull back the curtain.
Yes.
And there's always the old guy, you know, in the back of the auditorium.
When does it start? You want popcorn?
You know, he's coughing up a storm. Ooh. I had a little delay there. I was trying to go for the reverb. There we go. Have to have that ready in case we head back into the restroom.
You never know what, you know, gastronomical restroom. Events will occur.
So Podcastus and his buddy,
Vendry.
What's his name? Vendry?
Vendry.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get caught up.
Vendry. The Duros Vendry.
We're going to get caught up with these guys. So let's fire up the projector and get into this week's episode of The Adventures of Podcastus.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, God damn it. I fucked it.
Chapter 3, A Wind to Shake the Stars. Float! Having succumbed to the desperate need for food, Rebels Podcastus and the Duros Vendry found themselves successfully evading gastrological distress while infiltrating the mysterious Whisper Base. Gaining the confidence of one of the chefs of Whisper Base, the gassy Rebels learned of the delicacy of the day, a Grand Slam. And attempted to use this information to lure the guards away from the entrance to their immediate goal, the Imperial Shuttle Nima. Drawing on his keen skills in espionage, the Duros Vendry has found a potential backdoor to the landing bay.
So close. I messed that up because of the sound check we did.
Oh, well.
You know, okay, so.
We do the sound check to make sure everything turns out perfect.
It's true.
These kind of had a reverse
effect. We'll get it right. I'll get it right eventually.
All right.
So you, gents, our gassy rebels, are... When we last left you,
had found
the vents, and you are right here, where if you can see my little crosshairs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. You had found vents, which look like they lead into the...
I am not recording this, so I'm going to...
All right, let's start again.
No. I'm going to record.
Recording in progress.
Should we start over?
Yeah, what? That's not going to make any sense.
Okay.
We're professionals.
I was recording the audio, not the video.
Oh, well, that's up to you.
I could tack on the
Do you want them? Do you want to mouth the words?
No. I can make this work. Don't worry. But it's for everyone listening. I'm sorry I didn't record the video until now. But
I'm also fine with redos. I'm an actor. I'm used to takes.
No, let's not do it over again.
All right.
I'll put the audio on the beginning of the video so it makes sense. But now everyone can see the big show here going on. The big podcast is show.
Hello.
So, hello. All right, take it away. We have the map here. So if you are obviously RFR All Access, you have access to the video of this, but we do want to keep in mind a lot of people are listening to this as an audio podcast, so we're going to want to speak in as descriptive terms as possible when we're referring to things like maps and any other visuals we have on the screen.
Thank you for the correction,
Jim. Yes, yes.
So you can see the crosshairs, which are directly south of the Nilos, which did I get that name
you
right?
You make that but map anyway. Bigger for those of us who are visually impaired.
Yes, I can do that, you old geezer. How's that? Okay,
oh,
so
that's
now the
great.
Map then the map is bigger, and as you can see, up north or top of the map is the Nilos, which is tucked away in the launch bay. And just as you go to the south of that, to another room, you are standing outside there. There is a vent, which seemed more promising than the first vent, by the intersection where you are now loitering.
Okay, so we got to get up into that vent and hide, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking there, Vendry.
Well, the vent being that it leads you to the potentially to the Nilos. You don't need to hide. You're in uniform.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah. Pods.
I'm still nervous about you, Vendry, because you're Duros.
Yeah, you're on borrowed time, Vendry.
Hey, well, we get up in that vent. We'll be fine. Be in the clear.
Yeah.
If only you could get a helmet instead of a.
Yeah, you know, Imperials do wear helmets, or bounty hunters, you know. But, oh, yeah, we are disguised as Imperials. So I think the Duros should go first up into the vent, Vendry, if you don't mind.
Cause you just put your hands together, and I'll step up in there.
All right.
Thank you, Vendry, because you have the right idea. Because, Kimusabe, you can't just jump into that vent. You got to open up the grate.
Yeah, oh. Okay. So get up there.
Okay.
He could get on my shoulders.
It's not the height. That's actually on the ground. So you could actually get into it easy. It's the fact that there is a grate with a couple of screws.
Oh, I see.
You're gonna have to remove that. So if you decide to remove it, we're gonna do an athletics check.
Okay.
Yeah, rip that thing off like Batman
or a skull
Arkham Asylum.
Check.
How could we rip that thing off of there?
That's right. All right. So, first of all, yeah, you just got extra experience points, Tyler Page, for that reference. But also, let's do our destiny points. Remember last time I threw that in? For the interest of time, let's just say we have one light side point for you guys, and one dark side point for me.
Okay.
And Tyler, I trust that you'll help me keep track of it.
Yeah, I did use one last time.
It resets every session.
Okay.
Even if you're in person. Normally, awesome. You would roll to see how many destiny points you have for each session, but just for the interest of time, we're gonna say we have one each.
Okay.
So you have the ability to remove that. And I'm switching to Podcastus's sheet.
Matt, what game is this specifically that we're playing?
We are playing the Age of Rebellion module of the Star Wars role-playing game. There's three kind of categories. There is Age of Rebellion, which is rule sets that deal specifically for if you want to play what we're doing, Rebels versus Empire.
Yeah.
There is Edge of the Empire, which is for more Outlander characters, bounty hunters, smugglers, things of that ilk. Yes. And then there is Force and Destiny, which focuses on essentially prequel, Clone Wars, Jedi running all over the place, things of that ilk. Now, the rules are basically the same for all three of them. Slight tweaks of things that you can access based on the category, but you can interchange any of the any of what's available, if that makes any sense. Any of the rules, any of the talents, any of the abilities. So if you see something in Force and Destiny, you can apply that to Age of Rebellion where it's appropriate.
So these games are customizable?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, up until now, I really only thought that these games had sort of strict rules, strict gameplay. I didn't realize that they can be sort of mixed and matched.
Well, they back in the day, and Tyler, you probably are familiar with this, they were much more strict.
Mm-hmm.
They were much more rigid. And then Fantasy Flight and now Edge Studios, when Fantasy Flight developed this system, they tried to make it more flexible, more narrative, more storytelling, and less rigid about, like, you know, well, you rolled a D20 and it's a critical hit and that's all she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to come up with things that are basically things that you can flesh out. It's not just the game master telling you what to do. It's the three of us working together to build the story. And as you get more familiar, say, with these rules in theory, you could flip through the other books in your free time and say, hey, you know, I kind of like this. Can I incorporate that?
What about the old West End games?
The old West End games were based on the D20 system.
Yes.
D20 system was a system, D20 meaning a 20-sided dice, which was the basis for Dungeons & Dragons and all of the other games that used that system in the early 2000s.
Okay, so 20 stood for 20-sided. What did D stand for?
Although I should say, no, I should revise that. West End Games was even before that. And Tyler, if you know better, please jump in. But West End Games was before that. West End Games was
Tyler's
like...
Tyler's tapping out immediately.
When
this is my first Star Wars RPG.
So West End Games was when the systems were less kind of unified. Advanced Dungeons & Dragons was different from regular Dungeons & Dragons, and they kind of had slightly different rule sets. West End Games had their own slightly different rule sets. It wasn't like reading, you know, an entirely different language if you went from Dungeons & Dragons to West End Games, but there were tweaks in the dialect.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Then by the 2000s, the Dungeons & Dragons Wizards of the Sword Coast, who owned Dungeons & Dragons, came up with the D20 system, which was kind of like a uniform system where everything was based on a 20-sided die. And so if you learn those rules, you could apply it to any system that used a D20 system. And the Star Wars role-playing game at that time was also owned by Wizards, adopted the D20 system. Then it went to Fantasy Flight Games, which kind of revamped the whole thing for their more narrative die. So instead of using a 20-sided numerical die, we use these funky symbolic die, which represent things that happen rather than a number that is then, you know, translated to mean something.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Okay. I understand the difference.
Are you sorry you asked?
No. How do they incorporate miniatures into RPG?
Okay, so the D20 system was a shift towards miniatures to represent combat. So for instance, when we entered the garage at the very beginning of our campaign, once combat began, we would have all refer to our grid, our map, mm-hmm. with our miniatures on. And I would have said, okay, Jimmy, Podcastus's miniature is here. Vendry, your miniature is here. Here are the two miniatures of the guards that are coming in. Okay. And everything would have been broken down according to how many hexes you could move in a given turn, your line of sight, given to where you were positioned, almost like a chess game.
Mm-hmm.
It would kind of switch gears.
When you say hexes, you're talking about spaces.
I'm talking about a map that is broken up into hexes.
Hex. And what do you mean?
Hex. Like a grid.
Okay.
So that each square, or in this case, they're not squares, they're hexagons, would represent, I don't know what it was, like
5 feet.
Yeah, 5 feet, something like that.
All right.
So then you really get into the nuts and bolts.
So each hex is the size of Swank.
Yes. Each hex is the size of Swank.
All right.
On a good hair day. So you have that would really kind of zoom into a nitty gritty of tactical combat. Mm-hmm. Fantasy Flight Games decided to do away with that and say, you know what? We don't need miniatures. It's theater of the mind. You've got range bands. So you're either engaged with your opponent, you're at close range, you're at medium range, long range, or extreme range.
Got it.
There's no exact definition of what that is. It's just a common frame of reference. And they said, you don't need miniatures. We can just talk this out.
But aren't miniatures more fun? I mean, doesn't seem
they're
fun
awesome.
To have like
awesome. Yeah.
a physical yeah, representation awesome. Of what
it's
you
awesome.
Guys are yeah. are talking about?
It's awesome.
Yeah. Sam Witwer used to send me pictures of these little lead miniatures that he would paint, Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, miniatures. You paint them, yeah, and you could really get into them.
Oh, yeah, he was way into it.
Yeah, you could get into it. And so, yeah, or you could just have them, you know, slate gray, you know, just unpainted, and
but who wants
put
to
them
show
on the,
up?
Put them on the grid, and you know, your GM will kind of give you, depending on how you know much detail they're going to offer.
Yeah,
they'll either just like dry erase ops, you know, kind of like the battlefield, or they could put down like very detailed 3D models of, you know, there's a wall here, there's a like Warhammer. I don't know if you ever heard of Warhammer.
I have.
Is 150,000% that.
Oh, okay.
It is like models.
Yes.
Painted. There, every terrain is represented in a physical way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you do if you're into that.
Got it. Okay.
You know, you're all in. Is part of prepping and is part of the hobby.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering.
This is more Jimmy Mac friendly.
You know, I have a X-Wing, Star Wars X-Wing over here, and that's a miniatures game.
Oh, it's awesome. It's Fantasy Flight Games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fantastic. Have you ever played it?
No, I've never opened the box.
It's worth learning the rules and getting the boys down and playing it.
Yeah, okay.
It's fun. It's fun. It's not that complicated either. You'll see a lot of similarities with this system too.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm glad I asked because I'm starting now that I'm starting to grasp this stuff a little bit. I'm just wondering, you know, what the differences are and the different types of gameplay and
old
versus new, you know.
If you want something really rigid, you can play a computer RPG.
Ooh.
You know, where like Knights of the Old Republic. Knights of the Old Republic is based on an RPG that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're limited by, you know, the software. You know, they can't anticipate every little thing that you might do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I should start playing that again. I was playing it on my iPad. And I had a couple of like 45-minute sessions with it. It just felt like it wasn't going anywhere. So
it's actually a really good story.
Yeah,
but,
well, that's and my son Dylan's way into it too.
Yeah,
and
I just, yeah, it's a good story.
I just got this action figure, Shay Visla. I don't know who the hell she is. So I got to get into KOTOR because I think she's from KOTOR. Am I right?
Shay Visla? No, that's a.
No. No.
Shay Visla was a. I think it was a precursor.
All right. Well, let's Google Shay.
Yeah, we're doing
Visla.
It.
Yeah. But I thought she was KOTOR. See, like I feel like an idiot. Yeah. I feel like an idiot even asking these questions.
Whoa, that's not Shay Visla on the first one. Okay.
Yikes.
Okay, so yeah, I just that's got from that. Star Wars: The Old Republic. So that was fleshed out.
Oh.
Yeah, full iridescent Rihanna Samba.
So that's not that's not KOTOR, right? Old Republic and KOTOR.
It's the Old Republic. It looks like it's the MMO. So,
yes.
So basically what happened was there was Knights of the Old Republic, which was the single player RPGs, and that introduced Revan to the canon and those dudes. Then from that, they made the MMO called just the Old Republic, and they introduced Shay Visla. Shay Visla.
So I don't even know what shelf to put this action figure on.
Old Republic.
She'll just go. She'll hang with the expanded universe gang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Old Republic MMO is good. Is good stuff. Good story. The BioWare, which is the company that is behind it, is known for their stories. The problem is you don't have the flexibility that you were asking about.
Yes.
You're part of a great tale that is kind of, you know, you've got some variation. There's a couple of endings that they've scripted out, but you can't run to the bathroom because you had the burrito that the chef at Whisper Base gave you. You know, like that's not happening.
Oh, well, excuse me.
That's ours.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's ours. Nature calls in the RPG world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on.
That's our canon, and I would, from my cold, dead hands, shall you pry it.
All right. Okay, so that's some, getting down into the nitty and gritty of what RPG is. Because I think a lot of our listeners are sort of being introduced to RPG along with me. I think some of our awesome Patreon supporters are kind of going along for the ride just because they're curious too about RPG. And we love Star Wars. And if there's an element of Star Wars out there that is going unexplored by me, I find that to be unacceptable. So I am being proactive and I'm getting my RPG on. And so let's get back into the game. Let's get into the story.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's dig in and get going here. We have this grate we have to crack open, this vent, right? I'd like to personally go Princess Leia on this thing and say, you know, somebody has to save our skins. And, yeah, hey, did you guys always think that line was somebody has to save us kids? Did you ever think that?
No, but you brought that up once and I was like, oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Once you brought it up, I was like, maybe, but
my Guinness drinking buddy, Charlie Ross, who does the one man Star Wars, he still does shows to this day where he's reenacting the entire
somebody
original
has to
film.
Save us kids.
And he still says somebody has to save us kids. And I said to him, I'm like, Charlie, what the hell, man? You know, it's somebody has to save. Now I used to think it was save us kids. And I kind of like that line.
It's great.
It fits.
It does. It totally fits. But Charlie said, you know, he's like, you know, you're not the only person who's told me this, but I have to do one man Star Wars the way I always came up with it in my head. So like, this is something he's been doing since he saw Star Wars the very first time. I mean, this is something he's been goofing around with since he was a kid. And now it's like his career. And he's great, too. I think he's been out touring and stuff. So it's called One Man Star Wars Trilogy. I think he does the whole trilogy. I've seen it so many times, I don't know why I can't remember. Hello.
Is that me? Who emails me at this hour?
Oh, we're going to check out the email.
Actors Access.
All right. So, but yeah, that's worth checking out. And so he always says, you know, somebody has to save us kids. And he's like, well,
so he says that?
Yeah, he said that that's just
good for him.
He's like, that is just how it's always been cemented in his brain since he was young, and he's not going to change anything because
he shouldn't.
It all just kind of flows out of him. That guy's nuts. Yeah. Tyler, have you ever hung out with me and Charlie?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Last time he was in town, it was at the Pheasant Ridge Resort, which has since burnt down.
Oh, so, yeah. Pheasant Run.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good, that was a good party.
Did I say Pheasant Ridge? Pheasant Run.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pheasant Run. Right, right, right.
Yeah, that place was,
yeah,
I'm bound to burn down. But
well, it was in serious need of upgrades.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so we hung out there one weekend and probably left behind something that did eventually burn the thing down. It was a slow burn, but
oh God.
But so okay, let's get back into it. We got to get this grate open. So what the hell, you know? And I want Duros. I want you to go first because you'll sort of grease down the ventilation so I can kind of slide through a little bit easier.
Because, yeah, I think looking at your character sheets, and because this is a guided tour of an RPG, I'm going to weigh in here.
Thank God.
I'm like 2 seconds away from forgetting all the rules, so be ready. Vendry, you have the higher skullduggery.
I do.
Skill. And that would be the skill that I would use to kind of secretly remove it, you know, quietly so that nobody hears you.
So, yeah, I'll attempt to go up to each screw and kind of just with my greasy palms, just kind of.
I'm going to unscrew it with my greasy palms.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So do you have your handy dandy dice rolling app?
Yeah, I do.
Never sure if it's die or dice, but it's usually dice. Okay, so plug in 3 green and 2 purple, because this is an average difficulty check.
Okay.
And pop them like the Pope.
So I got the upside down triangle.
Ooh. Okay. How many is that? Can you get a little closer?
Yeah, yeah.
A 1. Okay. All right. So you you're trying to do it. Ah, it's not working. It's not coming out. This bad boy is stuck. But you can try again if you want.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Is that inspiration?
You didn't have any like ill effects from it. It's a tough one.
It's
a stubborn little bastard.
I'll just kind of spit on my hands to make them a little more moist.
Yeah,
Real up in there, and I'll go for it again.
All right.
Yeah,
you do
it's
that.
It's a little worn out, so we're gonna put in the 3. Yeah. You also have your destiny point, but you have 3 green, 2 purple and put 1 black because you've kind of worn out the screws a little bit. You strip them.
I'm getting a little nervous because we have been hanging here for a little while and I got a feeling somebody's going to come down.
Well, you guys in game time have not. We've been hanging, the 3 of us in real life in Chicago and New York for a while.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, some other Imperials.
Well, I'm telling you that you're wrong. You haven't been hanging that long. You're okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see what's happening here.
There is a
game master.
And
that is not me.
I am the master.
I feel like, but can't my character like get like nervous sometimes?
Totally, absolutely.
Does it say it happens on my sheet? I just want to stay within the realm of what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, no,
here.
You can totally. I mean, what do you while he's doing this? What are you doing?
I'm just kind of like looking around, you know, kind of nervously, you know, like Like, come on, man, hurry up. We, you know.
All right, so, Vendry, while you're getting ready, Pod, give me a perception check.
Okay, sure.
Which is two green.
All right, hold on. Let me clear the thing. And two green. Yeah.
Two green. Throw in two purple. This is an average check. This is your spider senses to see if they're picking up anything.
Deep purple. Okay. And that's it?
That's it. Yeah, this is simple. What we got? Oh, you're shaking it. Good for you.
You got to shake it.
I'm going to send you some dice. I'm going to send you both some dice. All right.
You said they were rare.
But I love you guys enough that I'll make it work. Okay, good. You can put it down.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. So you're getting a little nervous. Yes. You know, that first attempt didn't work. You know, you had just spoken, you know, you had a narrow getaway thanks to Vendry with those guards. And you're peeking down the halls, you're kind of at that juncture. I'm going to show you once again on the map so you know what I'm talking about, but you're kind of at like a juncture here. There's a north and an east-west run that you're kind of in the middle of. So you're aware that people could show up at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
But so far it seems okay. You're not seeing anything. You kind of go down the hall or just kind of peek around one corner. You peek around the other corner. And you're not seeing anything. We seem to be good.
All right, we're good.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so, thank you. Thank you for
back
me,
to
do that game.
Duros Vendry.
So this is a second failure. and so I'm just going to say.
God, man, you suck.
Yeah, my hands, at this point, my hands just like are slipping off because it's so wet and greasy on the screws. And I've over-lubricated it.
All right.
Damn it.
So what do you guys want to do? Do you want to try again? Pod, how are you feeling about this?
I don't know.
You want to give it a try? I mean, you're not incapable of doing this, Pod. No, you could be like move aside and let an expert try.
Well, I'm fishing around in this this getup I got on looking for some kind of tool or something, but I can't find nothing. So but my fingernails are kind of long. I haven't trimmed them in a while. Is this all stuff I'm allowed to be doing?
Realm
of the game?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got these longish fingernails. And usually I have the bad habit of chewing my fingernails as I'm going through hyperspace, but I haven't really been traveling too much.
Makes you nervous. You also have, which I totally forgot last session,
good.
RFR2.
RFR2?
RFR2.
What's that? Is he my droid?
That's your astromech droid. Remember?
Wait, he's been with us the whole time?
That's me. In case you need him to fill out stuff. So what I'm going to do is...
I had no idea we had a droid with us.
Hey, buddy. I totally forgot after the first chapter. So, okay. So here we go. I'm going to...
RFR2.
He's basically your mechanic slash medical. He's basically there to revive you should things go south. So he has a high mechanic score.
Yeah.
So he's going to use that. So that's one one yellow, one green, and then what do we say? Two purple.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what do you know? What is that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, so. He's like, and he goes, and he can't get through it too. So Vendry, you don't have to feel so bad. However, he does start to take off down the hall.
Oh God.
Do you follow?
Do we follow our own droid?
Yeah. Mm. He just take off the hall, like, you know, down the hall, like, you know, like R2's just, you know, when R2 has something in his head and he just goes,
this is him.
Yeah.
That's RFR2 right there.
That's RFR2.
He's a red droid with he has a red dome. He has black legs.
Yep.
And he was
that's him.
He is RFR2. He was created at Disney at the Build-A-Droid. That's him. So everyone on the video. Can you guys see him okay?
Yeah, we see him.
There he is. He's coming into focus a little bit better.
There he is. There he is, the RFR2.
So there he is, RFR2. So, and very excited to see him here. But he kind of, he's this bright red astromech with black legs. He kind of sticks out a little bit amongst all of the solid black astromechs, or the ones with the clear dome that are going.
With the, you see the innards?
Yeah. And then you have our bright red guy. He's coming like a Lamborghini on the freeway, doing, you know, he's catching everyone's attention. But so he's roaming the hallways now of this.
So do you follow him?
Yeah, I want to follow him.
I'm going to let Pods follow him because I have a feeling if a Duros goes running after a droid in a base.
Yeah.
Empire. Well, you know, that bullshit about a black droid having to be a black. That BS about having to be a black droid only happened in the sequel trilogy. Back in the day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, because
R2 and 3PO could walk wherever they wanted to in the Death Star.
This is so true.
So, no more sequel bashing. So you follow him to another event.
Yeah.
And he starts kind of like pointing at it.
Okay. So this one looks good.
Yeah.
So maybe I say to him, RFR2, can you open this vent?
All right, so he's going to try it again. Do you want him to try it again, or Vendry, do you want to try it?
I'll let him try.
That's my boy. That's my boy.
That's it. You're stepping up.
So what did we say it was?
One yellow.
Three green.
Oh, wait, me or what?
Yeah, you.
Oh, you want me to
do it? Okay. You said you're doing it, right?
I'll do it.
Yeah.
All right, so we got
three
green.
Did I misunderstand you?
I thought he said he was going to do it.
Yeah.
What's up with you, Vendry? Vendry's acting.
Yeah, Vendry, what's going on Vendry, there?
You're acting odd. What's the matter?
Why you got to be all Duros?
Yeah, what are you being all, like, you know, wishy-washy for, Vendry? This is not like you, Vendry. This is not like you. Oh, yes, he can't hear, and he can't smell.
I'm trying to open this vent, Vendry. You want to help me out?
Vendry. Vendry's. I'm concerned.
Now let's go, Vendry.
Vendry right now.
Okay, I got three greens.
All right, three greens. And you know what? This is put one purple because he, RFR2, found you a good one.
Ooh, okay. Oh, I think that's like a no conclusion.
No conclusion.
All right, do that again. I don't know what that's about.
I'll just tap it this time. Okay, there we go.
He's showing his dice roll to the game.
Yeah, we got two bangs and two.
Okay, things. So you're not able to do it.
Okay.
However, you try again. You're like, God damn it, RFR2. And so he pushes you aside. He's like, woo, and he pushes you aside, and you're like, arr! And he starts doing it. Because you guys had a, I don't know if you remember, you had a triumph last mission.
Yes, we triumphed.
Jimmy, you don't remember.
There's something that happened.
And so
we haven't
this
been
is,
caught
we're gonna,
yet.
We're going to spend your triumph now, and you have a success. You are in. RFR2 is like boo, 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 and pulls it off gently.
Nice. Triumph. Triumph is Rob Smigel's dog who hates Star Wars fans. He's got a talking dog that hates Star Wars fans.
Yeah, the Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, look that up on YouTube. That's our triumph.
What is he like? Bark at Star Wars fans?
No, he smokes a cigar and he shows up where Star Wars fans gather, like Tyler said, the Attack of the Clones, you know, line up. And he goes there and he lets his dog insult all of the fans there. You might say he's an insult dog.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Does his dog talk?
Yeah, it's Triumph.
It's a puppet.
His name's Triumph.
Oh, it's
Triumph.
A puppet. Oh,
he's not a. He's is he really?
I thought it was a rod picture. Like a was, Rottweiler. No, I thought he was a
real
attitude.
Dog. I thought he was a real dog. Oh, I thought it was his dog that just happened to like be very well schooled in insult comedy and smoking cigars. But okay, fine. It's a puppet. Ruin it for everyone.
Sorry, guys.
Ruin it for everyone.
It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got the door open, the vent open, and I'm assuming you two yokels go in.
Okay, let's go. Vendry.
I'll go in first. Okay. I'll grease that sucker up.
Yeah, Vendry. You're first.
I'll go first.
I'm not going in there first. Vendry. Okay. Oh, and I'm covering you, Vendry. I got you covered here, so don't worry about it. Where's our droid again? Where's our droid?
The droid's waiting on the other side. He's not going in that.
Oh, he split. He went to the other side.
Okay. No, he can't fit through the.
No, I get that. Okay.
Yeah, so you'll be droidless, which I know will be tough considering that you've leaned on him so hard.
Yeah, really. I don't even think we were aware of his presence. No.
So I realized today, I was like, we have a droid.
He's back. He was doing some recon work in the last episodes.
Yeah. So you step outside onto a launch pad, and a large, let's get some music going here.
Wait, are we through the vent already?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you want? Like
no, it's good. I mean, I'm a little claustrophobic, so I'm glad that was a quick trip.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even have time to really even... let it sink in that was
no,
happening,
it's not cause... that far. And so the Kurosawa wipe, you step out onto the launch pad, a large platform cut to the mountainside. Inside the chamber sits a slightly battered Lambda class shuttle, surrounded by heavy crates filled with spare parts and maintenance tools. The vessel is currently offline, and there are no guards at the launch pad. To capture this base as a foothold for the Rebel Alliance, you must prevent its command staff from escaping, and this is the place they are most likely to run first.
Mm-hmm.
After all, the alternative is a long walk through the jungle. How do you tackle this problem? That's what the book says. Don't look at me like that.
Hmm.
All right. I think I have a plan, Vendry.
You have a Lambda shuttle there.
Yeah.
There's no guards around. Mm-hmm. The ramp is down.
Yeah. But the ship is offline.
Somebody could, come in and power it up and take off.
In Star Wars, that seems so simple. And they never need a key or like a code or anything. They just jump in.
No, you flip a couple of switches, you're done.
You're taking off.
You're done.
So we can do that. We can definitely do that. But that seems too easy, though. I want to get their ship. I think we need that. I mean, why do we need to escape? Because we haven't really even...
No, you're not here to escape. You're here to prevent any of them from escaping.
Okay.
So you're basically here to sabotage their way out in some way, however you want to do it. So the shuttle needs to be stopped in some way.
Why don't they just take the Nelos?
That is the Nelos.
Oh, the shuttle is the Nelos.
The shuttle is the Nelos, yeah.
Okay. All right. I was picturing something different in my mind for the Nelos, but that's...
No. The Nelos is a Lambda class shuttle. This is the... Basically, what you're doing is before you checkmate, you're moving your pieces into position. So you want to keep... You want to keep escape routes. You want to cut off escape routes.
I got the plan.
He's got it.
We're going to stow away on the Lambda class shuttle and wait for the Imperials to escape. And once we're up in space, we jump them, we ambush, and then we blast them out of the airlock into space. So not only... are we preventing them from escaping? We are completely eliminating them from the plan altogether. We never have to worry about them again.
I like it. We do need to get them to escape then for a reason, right?
Matt Rashid has a pipe. And with the glasses, there's something that kind of makes me think about Dennis the Menace's dad right now. Didn't he have one? Then who always had a pipe? Or remember the Mad Magazine, the dark side of, or the lighter side of.
Survivor's Spy?
No, that was Dave Berg who did the lighter side of.
Oh, the lighter side
of. Yeah, and it was right. Always a different, the lighter side of Star Wars, I think he even did one. That was Dave Berg. And I think you look like Dave Berg right now with that pipe.
Well, I'm the profile.
You look.
I was raised on Mad Magazine.
Oh, me too. I still subscribe to it, and they don't even. They're just reprinting old stuff. They're not. They're hardly
like
ever.
Five
even.
Versions of Oldie Van Moldy and Star Wars. They're Star Wars parodies.
I have all of those. All of those compilations, everything. Mad Magazine is very
not hard. Not hard copy.
Billy Mack has the hard copies. He's got actually.
I don't think I have my hard copies anymore.
Billy
actually
pursues.
I have my Star Logs, not my Mads.
For years, Billy has pursued Mad Magazine to build a collection. I think Billy claims the first. Naked lady he ever saw was in Mad Magazine, but she was just like a little cartoon naked lady.
Well, I mean, duh. All of us.
You got to start somewhere, you know?
That's where I started. What's wrong with you?
Oh, my God. So, and speaking of Billy, I noticed that there's even a trading card of his Yoda that he painted that is now at Rancho Obi-Wan.
Wow.
There's actually
that's awesome.
A trading card of it. And I have it right.
Yeah, I remember when in the episode where he's like, that's mine.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, what was the guy from Force Awakens? Like, that's mine.
Oh, Unkar Plutt.
Unkar Plutt.
I think Billy's is the one, this one in the back. That one, right?
I thought that was a good joke, Tyler. He totally missed that.
No, I get Unkar Plutt, but you know, really sequel trilogy humor.
Simon Pegg.
Aren't we better?
You know,
than
I thought
Simon
that we were
Pegg,
not going to bash on
Simon
sequel anymore.
Freaking Pegg.
I used up
no,
the
I'm
one.
No, I'm not saying I'm.
I used up the one bash. Now you have to
it's
laugh
not
at
a
my
bash.
Jokes.
It's no, it's not bashing. It's just restricting. Restricting all references, you know.
I still gave it a legit Star Wars reference.
This book here,
and I got no love except for Tyler.
It
Tyler,
was
thank you.
Fine, it was fine. I was distracted by something. Get over yourself.
Okay, fine.
This book, Shadow of the Sith. Okay, this.
You
this,
really recommend it? You really recommend
well,
it?
Well, it gives you food for thought when it comes to the sequel trilogy. It sets up a lot of things, even. Even how Rey ended up on Jakku. Who Rey's
I'm just a little bitter
on.
Because I wish I had seen this in the movie.
Well, of course you do. And it's yeah, kind of, it's not that effectively, you know, I mean, it's kind of patchwork stuff going on here. I find that, like, the adventure, what I like about this book is it's Luke and Lando. Right. It's a focus.
Here you go. I'm ordering it now.
Why?
On,
don't
on
order
screen.
It. What about an audio book? What's this?
Why? Is the audio book good?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm still
you recommend audio
through.
Over the...
I don't know. With you can multitask with the audio, so...
Okay, that's true. All right, I'll get the audio later. I won't do it now.
As a dog walker... Yeah. So I'm currently the audiobook I'm dealing with right now is George Lucas, A Life. And... I think I read it before, but I noticed Billy Mack was reading it when we traveled to Anaheim. So I'm listening.
Who, is
to
it auto or a biography?
It's biography. It's okay. Biography. And I mean, you know, it's just, it seems like every year I'm going through another biography or another making of Star Wars book or something, you know, every summer.
Yeah. I think Tyler and I could probably say the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're relearning the information, it's like kind of fun.
Yeah.
There's so much.
You always hear something different.
I'm upset because I have Hulu, but apparently I don't have the subscription that gives me the
Vice icons.
The icons,
yeah.
Apparently, you need something grander than what I have.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, a new episode drops tonight. I don't think the DVR is set for that. Yeah,
oh, I'm watching it right now as we play.
And then, yeah, they put it on Hulu. Swank is able to access it.
Yeah, I can. I have Hulu, and it says like you need the subscription that gives you like access to live versions. Tyler's nodding his head.
I have live. There's like a Hulu Live TV. So that's like how I watch my Sox games and stuff.
But it's not live though.
There is actual like live. Yeah. It's like cable. It's like a feed into cable.
Right, but the icons thing isn't live.
I don't think so, no.
No, but not on Hulu, on the premium Hulu. They just make it, you know, available on demand.
Mm-hmm. That's what I
You know what? You both can kiss my butt because I can't see it until it's available to the plebs. I'm dying to see it.
Okay. So there's one on YouTube, isn't there?
The first one, yes, the very first one is on YouTube.
No, I'm going to want to see them all, though. That's just going to...
All right. Well, I might
that's
know...
That's going to... Like, I want to, you know, close
the
deal.
I might know a way. I might be aware of a way you can do this. But I'll have to get back.
That's
to
okay. You. Let's get Podcastus and Vendry to the... By the way, all of this is legit what happens when you RPG.
Oh, good, because this is a slow-moving story this week.
You just digress, and you're like, you know, yeah. Talking, and then you're like, oh, yeah, back to the game.
Yeah, and I'm like pretty much out of time, so we haven't done anything.
No, are you really?
Yeah, I am, unfortunately.
Oh, my God, yeah. We got nowhere. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I had an hour and a half, and, but we can go a little bit longer. Just I mean,
wow,
we have
that was an hour and a half already.
Well, right. we were, you know, shooting the you-know-what before we started, so.
Yeah, you guys were too much fun. Yeah. That time went by fast.
Yeah, I missed you guys. So, but I mean, we can come back and do this again pretty soon. So,
yeah, you know,
I got a couple of Q&As lined up. We got the return of Joe Dallas coming next week.
Yeah, and, best name in the internet.
What's that?
I say he's got the best name in the internet.
Joe, oh, he said
that's a great name.
He's been out playing live jazz all over Florida, and he sent me.
That's awesome.
I think even beyond Florida.
And he's been everywhere, man.
Yeah, yeah. I see pictures of him online playing with these bands. I'm like, oh, look, he looks so serious, you know. And
that's
I told
cool.
him this, and
that's
he,
cool.
he's like, yeah, serious, ha. but he sent me a couple of really bluesy tracks. He mostly does jazz, but he sent me some bluesy tracks, and they were really good, so. Maybe I could convince him to let me play one on Q&A next week. There was an instrumental, which I really thought was good. Yeah.
Twist his arm. I think it'll happen.
Yes. And he always has fun games to play and stuff. And then I have a Q&A lined up with Garrett from Milwaukee, who I met at our last Galloping Ghost hangout, which Tyler couldn't make.
The COVID.
He got the COVIDs.
I you know, there's gonna be the final summer stuff we're doing out there, I'm sure.
Well, we got the Blues Brothers convention coming up next week. And listen to this, Matt. Blues Brothers convention taking place at the old Joliet prison where they filmed the Blues Brothers. It's at the very beginning of the movie when Jake gets released from prison and they pull, you know, Dan Aykroyd pulls up and everything. It's going to be Blues Brothers convention. Amazing Chicago blues bands playing there in the courtyard of the prison. Along with all these photo ops, you know, Maxwell Street, you know, everything, Ray's Music Exchange, all the locations from the movie will be represented with like photo ops and stuff. We got Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi coming out to do a Blues Brothers set on Friday night. Then they're going to screen the film outside on like the prison walls on Saturday night. Tons of blues bands, like gospel brunch. It's going to be crazy. We got Baby Belushi flying in for this one.
Oh, I was going to ask if he was going to be. That's awesome.
And that's going to be the fun thing is watching because he grew out the mutton chops specifically for this event. He's coming in with the pork pie hat. And the shades, the
that's awesome.
Wayfair shades and the skinny tie and everything. So he's going to be doing his thing. It's going to be great. have Baby Belushi out there. We're going to be partying with him all weekend in Joliet.
And, so excited for that.
It's going to be crazy. We got a whole crew of people coming out. Billy Mack's going to be there. Wendy Snyder, my sons, Chris Mocht and his gang, some Babu Freaks. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be.
We're going to go crazy.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll have full report on that here on the Q&A or Babu Freaks, obviously. And
yes.
And on our.
All right, so let's get you out of here.
What are we doing now? So we're trying to figure. So I want to board this shuttle, and I want to wait for these guys to escape, and then we're gonna.
Well, they're not likely to get on the shuttle, like Tyler said, unless they have a reason to get on the shuttle.
Well, we have to give them a reason. That's where RFR2 comes into play.
Okay.
Yeah, because what he's going to do is he's going to put a virus into their computer systems, which will...
The blue shadow virus? Yeah,
no, not that one. This is different. Okay. This is not that kind of virus. This is a computer virus. And it's going to... because I programmed him with this before this whole thing started. He's got this computer virus that's going to shut down the life support on the base. Where is the space located? Because I have to.
It's on Onderon.
It's on Onderon.
Yeah,
jungle.
Yeah, so it's going to lower the defenses around the base.
That's some program you put in there.
Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one. It took me a while to.
That's a doozy. All right.
Took a while to come out with this. So it's going to shut down the life support on the base, whatever's necessary for the Imperials, you know. And it's going to lower the defenses around the base. So, like, the jungle creatures can then attack the base. It's going to freak out all of those Imperials. Look at them, so fat and satisfied. That's me.
All right. Well, I'm going to need some time to prep for that. So it's that be said,
this is like being in court when one lawyer presents evidence the other lawyer isn't prepared for. Judge, we're going to need time to review.
I'm like, holy shamoly. All right. I'm going to have to work on that next time. Or you could just go and try to get into the control room after you've sabotaged the shuttle. That's it.
That's not fun. That's not creative either.
That's fine. That's fine. And I will prepare.
We're very creative saboteurs.
I'll try and jam the comms too, so they really freak out.
Jam the comms.
This adventure book. Goodbye. All right. We'll do it. We're doing it.
It's all homebrew.
Someone has to do this.
Homebrew. I love it.
For the rebellion.
All right.
For the rebellion, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old.
Look at them, so fat and satisfied.
I think it's going to be good.
We must do it for the rebellion.
I'm doing it for Mon Mothma, man. The young Mon Mothma, I'm doing it for
her. Do it for the red. Come with me, child.
Come. Come.
Did they send you? Are you here to kill me?
He's like, what's his name from Apocalypse Now?
Are you an assassin?
Are you an assassin?
Oh, that is, you know, I never even, that is so.
Are you an assassin?
That's kind of, that is shades of Kurtz.
Yeah, he's Colonel totally Kurtz. Heart of Darkness. He's
like, yeah.
Have you come to kill me? He's putting a water on his face. Instead, Saw puts the mask to his face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
did they send you to kill me? Oh, yeah. Okay, wow. Matt Rashid dropping some exceptional Apocalypse Now / Rogue One observations on us right at the end of the show. I mean, we could spend a whole episode talking about just that.
Oh, absolutely.
As Saw Gerrera, voice only.
Come.
Come, my child.
My child, come. I think it's going to be good. In fact, I think it's going to be inspiration and fodder for our campaign.
We need fodder.
That's our fodder. Andor is our wheelhouse.
We need a lot of fodder.
You know?
We need some mutter, too. Mutter and fodder.
Hello, mutter. Hello, fodder.
So what, we just vamp over the closing theme?
No, it's your show. We're gonna pick this up next time. You said you got to go. I'm trying to help you out here. You want to?
Well, yeah. I mean, RPG is one thing, but the broadcaster in me feels like we should just keep talking until the music stops.
Fine, so. I'm working with Vendry.
All right. Well, we're coming to the end of it anyway. So thank you, everyone, for listening to Rebel Force Radio's RFR Q&A this time around on Patreon. Thank you, Matt Rashid.
We got another 5 feet.
Thank you, Tyler Page.
Go, Vendry.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Sometimes.
The farts get the Jedi.
The farts, remember from last week? The flatulation, Luke. Luke, you should not have drank that prune juice, Luke.
I'm telling you, that blue milk gives you the farts.